this is we're able to do everything in-house with song leading and sound system and preaching and those kind of things. And so God has blessed us tremendously with that, to have a preacher and to have a musical inclined person that normally doesn't do our song leading but does. It's that everybody has stepped up in a certain area, right? The song leader is doing the preaching, the sound guy is doing the song leading, and then a layman in the church, or just a faithful man, is stepping up to do the sound system. And so I'm very, very thankful for that here. And this is fruit to your account here. You've been an encouragement, a supporter from the very beginning. And so it's really, really, hopefully it's an encouragement to you as it is to me. And so 1 Timothy chapter number 1, we're going to start in verse number 12 and just finish the chapter, 8 verses. And so verse number 12 here this evening, it says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he had counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commend unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." And so tonight, by the Lord's help, I want to preach this message here, the privilege of the church, the privilege that we have, the privilege that we have to serve God and get behind worldwide missions and to preach the word of God and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. What a great privilege we have, and we cannot forget that here this evening. And so let's pray one more time here this evening. Lord, we thank you for today. I thank you for everything that has been done today at New Heights Baptist Church, everyone that is faithfully serving and giving and just getting behind other different opportunities. Lord, I think about this walk of life opportunity that they have here. I do pray that they would get behind that, that this church would rally around that, and that they would support it, Lord, get behind it, and that that there would be fruit from that. And so I thank you for just every opportunity you give us. What a great privilege, what a great honor it is to be here today. And I do pray that you would just help us to remember and understand that when we forget it, which we will. I do ask, God, that you would remind each and every one of us how grateful we need to be, Lord, the privilege we have to serve you. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We've all been places and different, been in certain situations where we felt very, very privileged. I feel like that here this evening as I've came here. I think it's my third time coming here, and it's always difficult to leave. And again, as I said, your pastor's a great friend of mine. I learn a lot from him every time I come here, and it's a privilege. It's a privilege, and you have maybe a testimony of some kind. And I've had the opportunity one time. I was just walking through the mall and just really burning time, and ran across the governor of Oklahoma, Kevin Stitt, a pretty good governor, and seemed like a Christian man. And my brother-in-law said, "That's the governor right there." And I went and got to talk to him, sit down with him for a few minutes, and just encourage him in the Lord to keep standing on God's word. And as I sat there and in the food court of just a, you know, a city mall there, I thought, man, what a privilege, and had to have pictures taken with him, of me and my family and his family there. What a great privilege It was. For me to sit right there with the governor, and then on top of that, to make things even better is to encourage him in the Lord. And as I'm kind of preaching to him, he's saying, amen, amen. Yeah, you know, that's right. Preach it. And I got to share my testimony, and it was a great privilege that I had. And again, as we think about the layout of the local church of what God has given us, and a congregation, right, of imperfect people having the opportunity to serve a perfect Savior. I mean, what a privilege it is. I want to remind us all, including myself here, that we should never think too highly of ourselves, right? And that it is all about Him. And the second we get away from that, and it's, you know, this kind of self-righteous, of look what I have done, look what I have built, it's the wrong perspective. Right. And so we see Paul, the Apostle Paul, a very smart, educated man that has done some great things for the Lord, have done some horrible things against the Lord before he got saved here. We see in verse number 12 how he is expressing himself of how he is thankful. Right. There's humility that's coming from the terminology of what Paul is writing to Timothy. We see the perspective of how privileged he feels there. And I just want to encourage us all here tonight that we cannot get away from that. We cannot get away from how the perspective of how much of an honor it is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ there. And that it's not ever, we should never feel that as, man, I have to do this, but it's I get to do it. I get to write a check to Worldwide Missions. I get to take mission trips. I get to go out soul winning and tell people about the greatest news that has ever came into this world here is that Jesus Christ came and to save sinners, as Paul said, of whom I am chief, right? I am the worst of sinners there. And I often even feel that as well as Paul had a horrible past and what he has done. And I think about my past and how, man, I can amen that. As what Paul says, I am the chief of sinners. I can amen to that. And so my mindset here is if God can save the worst of sinners, right? If he could save anybody. He could save anybody. And I've even said this here. I might have even said this here before, that if God can use me, okay, if God can use me, He can use anybody, okay? I grew up in a broken home and, you know, family, just drugs and different things, and criminal activity and all this other stuff here. And if God can use me and put me behind a pulpit and preach His word, I'm telling you, He can use anybody. And I'm the chief of sinners, as Paul says. And so the privilege we have to serve is just absolutely amazing. And sometimes it might feel like a lot of pressure, especially maybe in leadership here. There's pressure involved, and maybe sometimes it can even be more of a burden. But understand something here. It is a great honor to serve the living God. It is, okay? And I have to remind myself that as well. As Paul is saying, he enabled me, right? Meaning to turn on. This is really the modern terminology here, to turn on, right? When we enable something, we turn on, we disable, we turn off there. But to allow, to be able to do something, right? To really what he's saying here is that God has equipped me. Okay, He has supplied the strength. The Holy Spirit of God helps me through this, the power of the Holy Spirit. God has given me the opportunity, yes, but also the strength to be in the ministry. Okay, the ministry, what a blessing it is there. And if we're not careful, we can disable ourselves from what God has enabled us to do, right? We can disable ourselves if we're not careful. And quench the Holy Spirit of God there. Reject what God has for us there. The victory is ours. Not because what we have done, but because of Him. Amen. But because of Him. And let's spread. Listen, let's spread the victory. Let's spread the victory. Let's get people on the victorious side here. That's what it's about there. And we have the victory. We know what the victory is. The victory is only in Christ Jesus there. And so the victory is ours. And so He has laid out the plan for us. He has laid it out. He has spelled it out. He has paved the way. And we just have to be obedient to Him. That's it. We have to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, who was before? Who was before? A blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurer is there. Or we can even say a drunkard. Who was before a drunkard? A liar. Some kind of sinner, right? We all have a past. We all have a testimony. And I would encourage you here tonight to share that testimony on where you came from. Okay, who you once were. This is what Paul is doing. Who you once were to where God has placed you and helped you now. Okay, this is who I once was. I was addicted to this, or I was doing this, and I was an adulteress, or I was wrapped up in all this, and God saved me, okay? And God has helped me through this. In the process, God has helped me and is continuing to help me, right? We're always growing in some way, shape, or form there. We're always, I mentioned this morning how God is calling us to another step of faith, okay? We're always growing. The Bible, Peter teaches to grow in grace, to continue. We'll never stop growing in the Lord, okay? And that we use that testimony that God has given you, you personally, to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ there. And so it doesn't matter about our credentials. We are all filthy rags in the sight of God there. We've had a past there. Paul's past, again, we understand Paul's past, Saul of Tarsus. He was a persecutor. He persecuted the church. He went after those of the way, which was the way of Christ, as Jesus taught it in John 14, I am the way. And so they initially started calling followers of the way, and then they progressed into Christians, little Christ. And Saul of Tarsus, who is the Apostle Paul, would go after these men. He would crave, he would thirst for their blood to kill. He hated them who belonged to the way there. He was a bloody man. Saul was, right? He was a bloody man there. He was a hateful man. He was a religious predator is what he was there. He was a self-righteous murderer, okay? By any means necessary. I'm trying to paint this picture of how gruesome and hateful and how much of a sinful man Paul was, okay? Before he became Paul. Saul of Tarsus, there he can go after, he had the opportunity, he had the authority to kill any Christian there, any kind of, and he was a murderer there, and so God saved him and put him into the gospel ministry, right? Into the gospel ministry. And ministry just means service of the Lord, okay? It means the ministry is service to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all called to the ministry. We are all called to minister. I love 1 Corinthians 4, how Paul teaches ministers. He uses that word ministers, and it means to underrow. And it really, if you study that word out, it's a hard, intensive labor. This is what it is, under rowing there. And you have, I'm thankful as I look around and I see what's going on at the New Heights Baptist Church. There are under rowers, there are servants here. And it's encouraging, it's a blessing there. And we are all called to serve. And ministry is difficult work. It is hard work there. And to in the trenches of life there. And you know, you go out in the heat and you knock doors, but God is doing something, and we see fruit from that, and your labor is not in vain there. And so when God gets a hold of our life, that's really what it's about. When God really gets a hold of our life and we give Him and we're obedient to Him there, He changes us. Just like, you know, a tornado of some kind, or F5 tornado, or man, a Category 5 hurricane comes through here. There, it's going to do some things. It's going to do some damage, right? And that's what happens when God gets a hold of our life there. He changes things. There's an effect that goes on there. There's some things that take place in our own life there. And so our past is the same. We were lost and dead in the trespasses of our sin, and God saved us, right? And God wants to do something with us here. He wants to do something with everybody here tonight. He has a specific plan, a specific purpose for your life there, and He wants you to be involved in His work, in the gospel preaching ministry, in worldwide missions. And so we have experienced that as Paul is teaching here, is talking here in 1 Timothy, how he experienced mercy, okay, from Saul to Paul. He did not deserve it, okay, but he was shown, he was given Mercy. You and I, as much as we might think we deserve something, we don't deserve nothing, okay? We deserve hell. We deserve separation from the Lord there. But because of His mercy and His grace, He saved us. What He has displayed... Is my thing falling again? Is that mic falling? I can't get a hold of this thing here. What God has displayed, the love of God that displayed on our account there, the mercy of God is unimaginable, right? We became acceptable to God through the righteousness of Christ. By the way, it's not by any kind of good works. You can give all kind of money, right? All the money you want. That doesn't make you saved, by the way. The only way you get saved is by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ there. And whenever we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, right then and there, we get the grace of God. We receive the righteousness of Christ there, and grace is bestowed upon our life. This undeserving favor, it's amazing. This undeserving favor, this overflowing supply of grace there, as Paul teaches there. And again, he says, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the chief of it. I'm the worst of it. Salvation for the worse. That's encouraging, right? Salvation for the worse is what Paul is saying here. This is what we're trying to spread and to teach, is that, hey, Christ can save anybody, right? There's been some people in our life. There's like, man, we might think this way, or I do at least, and probably the wrong way of thinking, but it's, man, I don't know about that person, right? You ever felt, you pray, I think Pastor touched on this morning, you pray for them, you try to witness to them, man, you try to help them, you go out of your way to invest in them there, and it's like, it's no hope, right? There's no hope. And I mentioned Tyler. Tyler was, kind of one of those men. But I loved on him. I helped him. I prayed for him. And lo and behold, here you have, there's another man by the name of Ron, right? He was a good friend in Florida. And right at the end, whenever I was leaving, gave a salvation testimony to me. Very encouraging, right? I mean, I lost hope on him. I think about my uncle. My uncle, Kobe Gaspard is his name there. I mean, you want to talk about the chief of sinners. You know, this man was the chief of the chiefs, right? And he has a testimony in his own, but he was shot with a 9mm from his leg up through his head, survived that. A couple years later, was shot with a shotgun in his stomach, survived that. And then on his jail cell bed, right? After reading the book of Romans, something, and I remember he was reading Romans, accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior, right on his jail bed, right in his jail cell there, and it's amazing to me, right? Salvation for the worse, it is. Salvation for the, God can save anybody. God can, and so we just keep going. We just keep under rowing. We just keep serving, right? We just keep laboring. We just keep giving. We just keep going there, and our labor is not in vain. There, it's amazing to me to see the providential hand of God, right? And so this motivation here we have that Paul is telling Timothy, he's trying to motivate him for the ministry he is there, and how he says, look at what Christ has done in my life here. I was once a persecutor. Now I'm shown mercy here. Christ came into the world to save sinners. And so he gives a personal testimony, a personal experience of grace. And that should fuel our fire, right? It should. It should fuel our fire. And as Paul is telling Timothy this, we should remember what God has done in our own life there, as he's given us a second, a third, a tenth, a 50th chance there. And so that's the application here, that it should understand that we should deeper our grasp and never forget grace and how it should push us and it should encourage us. The urgency of missions should become real to us there, and we should get involved in worldwide missions. And at the end of it all there, it brings honor and glory to the Lord. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. And this is what we should be doing with everything that we have, to honor and glory forever. Amen. There. That's what it is. And so he charges Timothy one more time to fight the good fight, right? To be in the war. There's a spiritual battle that we need to be involved in. You're doing it. You're doing it with this walk of life. That's a spiritual battle. There are single moms and broken homes and different things are making the wrong decision. That's a spiritual battle. That's a satanic attack from Satan, from the world there. And we need to be involved in that. I love that. I really do love what y'all are doing here with that. I'll say this. Answers in Genesis does a great job of explaining all that. They have a wonderful book of that as well there, and they have sent us some stuff, and we're trying to minister in that area as well. And so you stay faithful in the mission that God has put you in the mission field, and it can be difficult, it can be a struggle, it can be a battle, but you push through and fight the good warfare just as a soldier does, right? As he's getting shot at, it seems like the enemy is encroaching, is approaching, is getting closer, and it seems like the enemy sometimes might be winning. You just keep pushing, you keep going there and fight the good fight. Stay faithful even when the mission is difficult, to persevere through it is what Paul is emphasizing here in verses number 18 through 20. I commend unto thee, Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, right? Just keep on holding faith, being sound in doctrine, right? Holding faith and a good conscience. It's the second time he uses that word in the chapter, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Some have quit. We understand that there. We see it as pastors. We see it as church members. We see it as Christians in the mission field. Some quit. Some do quit. But we keep pushing on. We stay in the fight. We stay in the battle there. And there's not always, we don't always get to see fruit from the product. But that's what everything, right? That's what farming, that's what landscape. If you go out and do some landscape work and you plant a bunch of flowers, they're not all going to bloom and flourish. Some are going to die off, and some, reaping and sowing and all these different things there. And so sometimes it doesn't produce like you want. And maybe you're doing a project of some sort, you're building a project, and it just doesn't come out like you want to. That's what everything. And guess what? That's in the physical world, but that's also in the spiritual world. But we are not commanded necessarily to see all kind of fruit. We just keep going. We just put our head down. We be obedient here. Hey, this is what God's called me to do. Oh, God's called me to knock doors. One of the last things that Christ told his disciples is to go out and preach the gospel. Well, that's what I'm going to do. If he's called me to do this, he's called me to live a holy life. Well, that's what I'm going to do. If he's called me to read my Bible and to lead my family, well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be obedient to what God has called me to do here. And by God's grace, we'll see fruit from that. Amen. And I tell our church, if you fish long enough, you'll catch something. Amen. Right? You'll catch something. There's one time I was fishing, and I'm not a fisherman at all. I was fishing. I wasn't catching nothing. Well, all of a sudden, I caught, a turtle. I caught a turtle. All right? I don't know if anybody else can say, have a testimony like that. They caught a turtle, right? Now, the way I caught the turtle is it had a cracked shell, and my hook got in it in its shell, and I was able to pull it in there. Yeah, yes way, I'm telling you there. And so you fish long enough, you'll catch something. Just keep going. Keep pushing. Keep giving. Keep being faithful. Do you hear me? Keep being faithful to what God has called us to do. Pastor. Amen.